Well, the time is 4:01. Big thanks to Boston Bruce for another fantastic show here at KD&K. It's time now for Everything Under the Sun on KD&K Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. Today, I am joined by a very special guest. We are honored to have here in the studio, Karen Etheridge. How are you, Karen?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming in. Karen lives in Carbondale currently, and wrote us a letter to the editor this week at the Soaper's Sun, detailing her efforts to help out people who have been affected by Hurricane Helen in North Carolina. And she is also getting us in touch with a man named Stephen Lambert, who will be joining us by phone shortly. And we're just going to get an idea of what's happening there. But to begin, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Karen? And we'll get into how you got involved with this, but just give us a short autobiography.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I have had the time and the luxury to be able to even put any time into this. I'm in the middle, in between jobs, job searching. If I'd had a full-time job, I wouldn't have been able to dive in like I have been. So that's been a real blessing, actually. A good friend of mine lives in Asheville. And so when the storm first hit, we, like many of her friends, popped on Facebook and said, "Hey, you know, Hill, are you okay?" And when we didn't hear from her for 4 or 5 days, I started to pay more attention to what was going on. She's good and she's fine and she's safe, just to make that clear. Mm-hmm. But in that gap of time, I started to become more aware, and I had this sense of, like many people, I just wanted to jump in my car and head down there and help. Mm-hmm. And I started researching how I could get involved remotely. And every place I filled out an application for, I never heard from them because it's chaotic. Mm-hmm. So I just started, the way I found Stephen was I was up in the middle of the night and I saw a Facebook post that he put on, "Hey, I need some livestock feed. I'm in desperate need for livestock feed." And I had just seen a post of someone bringing out a haul of livestock feed. So I thought, hey, I wonder if they know about each other. I don't think so. And then I just took that extra step to private message them, get their phone numbers, communicate through Messenger on Facebook and texting, and connected them. And I still to this day don't know if that's where he got the livestock feed from. It doesn't matter, but that's how we initially connected, was in that manner.
Wow. Great. And so Stephen will be calling in and we'll talk to him about what's happening. But the hurricane made landfall in the evening of September 26th, and it's now October 24th.
Yeah.
But from what I hear and speaking before we began the interview, when we were off air, is even now they're still recovering bodies. It's still very much a disaster zone.
It is. There, I think from the beginning, the people that were boots on the ground and all of the rescue teams, there's multiple, you know, Operation Savage, Cajun Navy, Operation Airdrop's been incredible, a whole multiple, all everybody coming in, all hands on deck. They knew this was going to take all winter and longer to fully get all of the body recovery completed. There's a group called Backcountry Cavalry where they go out on horseback, and they've got people that are experienced search and rescue set up to make long-term commitments to go through the whole winter, because as they have moved into the cleanup and rebuilding phase, they're still continuously completing body recovery. Yes, it's still happening. Yeah.
Well, I believe that we now have Stephen on the line. Stephen Lambert, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, Stephen, thanks so much for calling. And you are based in North Carolina, and you're from North Carolina. We appreciate you giving us a perspective from on the ground and from a recovery person what's happening there. So, Stephen, would you like to begin by just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. I mean, I've been doing hurricane disaster work for about the last 10 years. And then what I do every year is I find a nonprofit organization that I work with and give them my experience and resources and try to make things run a little smoother.
Mm-hmm.
This year I'm working with Restoration Church Disaster Relief. They're also located here in North Carolina. They're actually a church out of my hometown where I grew up at.
And what town is that?
The town is Willow Springs, North Carolina, is where the church is located.
Okay. And how is Willow Springs faring in all of this? Was that area affected?
No, sir. That area is about 4.5 hours east of western North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, how did you get involved in this this rescue work post-hurricane?
Really what I started years ago was I was a contractor. I went out and did the work for pay. And just seen the things that I seen that I started just doing the volunteer work instead of getting paid.
Okay. So what you're doing now is as a volunteer?
Yes, sir.
And in your 10 years of doing this sort of work, could you tell us a little bit about this hurricane in particular and how things are different?
Things with this hurricane is totally different because, you know, you have certain states that get hurricanes every so often. Florida gets them almost every year, so they're prepared for this every single year. You know, North Carolina, we might get one every 1 to 2, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it normally just affects the East Coast. You know, we don't have hurricanes that affect our mountains. So this hurricane is totally different because it affected multiple states, and then it also affected the mountains where nobody was prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
So your resources are very limited because of the many states that are involved in this storm.
Yeah. Do you want to speak to that, Karen?
I think of one of the questions, Stephen, that Morelli was asking me before we started was what's going on now, like with, I think, the continued rescue efforts. And I was trying to explain to him how it's kind of moved away from the search and rescue and now into the rebuilding. But there's still, what the level of need that's going to be throughout the winter and why you're staying throughout the winter. I don't know, maybe you can explain that a little bit better.
Well, I mean, the need here is, I mean, in the wintertime, it's very cold in the mountains of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just talking roofs messed up on houses. You're talking hundreds and hundreds of houses that just have washed away. Trailers, houses, you know, homeless communities. I mean, all of that is just completely gone. So these people don't have housing, and they're scared to take help from most organizations. So they're sleeping in tents still, and they're freezing.
Mm-hmm. Already.
You know, so we're staying. Our plans is to stay until every house has been rebuilt in the area that we're working in.
Wow.
I can share that Stephen, and maybe Stephen, you can talk about this more if you want to, but my understanding was that I was telling Raleigh, I couldn't even remember exactly how we met, but it was through Facebook and through you making a post in the middle of the night. And since then, well, I was telling him that you came out initially just to, when the storm first hit, a couple days after, to just intending to stay a few days, and then you ended up staying longer. And I was... Raleigh, to talk about Stephen a little, he was able to, just from his experience and connection with the locals, connect with them so they had his trust. And then also working with all kinds of different organizations as well, was able to organize a team of how many people are on your, it's fluctuated, right, from 50 to up to 125, right, Stephen?
Yeah, we have anywhere from 50 to 125, 150 volunteers a day.
Wow.
And they're coming as far as Seattle, Washington.
Wow.
You know, we have a ton of volunteers. You know, yes, I only came here for 2 days. I was going to run operations and logistics, not operations, but mainly the logistics and manpower over the phone, still doing my normal day-to-day job.
Mm-hmm.
And got here and noticed that it wasn't going to happen. I wasn't going to be able to operate out of a truck driving the interstate every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed. Unfortunately, I've lost my job for it. But, you know, one way or another, the good Lord will hopefully provide for me and my family eventually.
Can you speak to among your volunteers, and then for you yourself, and Karen, you can speak to this too. Like, what is it that that happens for you in your heart or your spirit that tells you, okay, my job's not as important, or that this is a priority, and you're willing to put everything aside to help?
Well, with me, it's, you know, I didn't grow up rich. I grew up poor. Mm-hmm. Always lived from paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, I look at it as I have 8 kids at home.
Wow.
If a storm disrupted my house and tore my house down, I would hope the community would help me every day until we got back on our feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's how I am. I think every one of us should help every person in this world to get back on their feet after disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it comes, that's why I do it. You know, mainly because I hate to see people hurt, you know.
Mm.
I mean, it's just sad. What we're seeing right now here in this community is very, very sad and depressing.
How about for you, Karen?
You know, it's a good question. I feel like a lot of people, it's sort of in our blood, so to speak. You know, Stephen comes from a history of EMT firemen, the service work and mm-hmm. direct disaster. And I used to be a child protection caseworker. I've encountered other key people that I've connected with, and Stephen knows them, Ruth and Rose and her husband Mike, and Ginger and Brandy, and they've all been helping out, you know, with Stephen's team. Taking Ginger's made like multiple loads. She gets people delivering donations to her house, and then she packs them up and takes loads out, and I'm sure she helps other places too. But they're like, I found out recently, they're like GALs, guardian ad litems, foster adopt system, different types of service work. It's sort of just in a lot of different people to want to keep going, because it's just, we can't not. Like, I had trouble putting the phone down when I knew that I could spend an hour or two and maybe get that person, give them a phone number or connect them. And when I know I can help that way, it's hard not to do it. It's just, I think it's just in a lot of people. Like Stephen said, if it was us in our community, we'd want people to,
mm-hmm.
you know, do that for us too. Yeah.
Well, for people just tuning in, this is Everything Under the Sun on KDNK. Today we're joined by Karen Etheridge, who is a Carbondale resident, as well as Stephen Lambert from Willow Springs in North Carolina. And we're talking about the aftermath of Hurricane Helene and also what people are able to do to help. And I'd like to know also, Stephen, what are the biggest needs right now?
Right now, the biggest needs from us is, you know, generators, heaters, propane. Propane is a big issue right now because, I mean, unfortunately, these people can't buy propane. They can't afford to refill their propane. So, you know, you have church organizations like ourselves that are trying to get as much propane in as possible and keep people with heat, you know. Building supplies is the next thing that we're moving into. We actually just started moving into that this week, accepting donations for building supplies. You know, one of the biggest things right now is, I mean, is funding. You know, we are buying campers. We have bought, in the last 48 hours, 12 campers. We've housed 12 families since yesterday morning. We have about 27 more families on our list that we have to house. We do have tiny homes that we've built, but in certain counties here, you can't use the tiny homes. You have to use the campers because they want them temporary. So, and then the other problem is people don't have the land, because if their house was affected by this flood, the flood maps changed since the storm, so they might not be able to rebuild back on that property. So we're having to find a property to put these campers so they can live. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a big need. I mean, you know, it's heaters, generators, funding. I mean, even people that want to donate campers, if they're in good shape, we will take campers as donations so we can put, you know, families in them.
Mm-hmm.
While we prepare to rebuild their houses or go through the process of getting approval. I mean, for example, if you lived in an area and it was 10 foot of water in your yard, your house has to be a 10 foot off the ground now. Mm. You know, you can't just build back there because of the flood.
And Restoration Church Disaster Relief, the Facebook page is the best place to get in touch with donations.
You can do it on the Facebook page, or you can go to restorationchurchnc.org, and you can go there and do donations. And they also have an Amazon wish list on there as well that we update every day.
Okay.
That's the best way to do monetary donations, and they also keep up with what we need and, you know, supplies that we're looking for. You know, for example, to give you information on exactly what we're doing here, you know, we don't just do search and rescue. We have a medical team here with us 24/7. We have a critical hospital unit that's here with us 24/7. I mean, so far since the storm, missions, we have roughly done 1,000 missions in 3 weeks. We've done critical medical missions. We've done 30. You know, we transport oxygen. We have many oxygen patients here. You know, that was the biggest thing when this, right after the storm, is all these oxygen patients didn't have oxygen. You know, I mean, we've had horses, we've had dogs, we've had mules, you know, we've had every sort of volunteers that we could to help us in this area.
One thing I can speak to for Steven's team is that, because he's not going to be the kind of guy that would toot his own horn, but he's known as Steven's team. It's Steven's team in Swananoa because they're really getting stuff done. Hope you don't mind me saying that, Steven. But his team is, he gives credit to the team of people that are working mm-hmm. with him too. And also, I think because of Steven's experience, he's been able to, from the very beginning, know the bigger picture need. Like, I remember when I first met him, he said, oh, we got a vet to treat animals. We got this, we got that. And at some of the other places, occasionally I hear stories about them turning away people now coming in. Steven's team won't, because they don't have to, because they have got it really streamlined. You know, he's feeding volunteers 3 times a day. All that's donated food and people coming in with the funds they donate to the church. His pastor organizes all of that to make sure that his team of volunteers gets 3 meals a day, coffee. There's access to, I think they have 2 portable showers. I don't know. I can't keep up with all the details. It's minimal, but they are a tough team of people. And he also has the knowledge he shared with me of, well, to finish that thought, if you go there, I've told people there will be something for you to do, whether it be organizing donations, going out on missions, rebuilding, whatever. He will put you to work in there at his place in Swananoa. And, I lost my train of thought. I've lost my train of thought.
Jumping off that, are you accepting more volunteers? If people who are listening to this program want to go lend a hand, would they be able to do that with you, Stephen?
Yes, sir. We will take, here at with Restoration Church, we will take any volunteer, whether they have a medical background or whether they just want to come mm-hmm. and sort clothes, if they want to go out and help cut trees, if they have equipment that wants to repair driveways or repair private roads, help us tear down houses to help rebuild. I'll take any volunteer that we can get here, because it's going to take a family of people to help these people. It's not just going to take 4 or 5 people. It's going to take hundreds of people. The biggest problem right now is during the week, We only had 35 volunteers each day, you know, and that's not enough. We got to have at least 50 to 75 every day here.
Wow. And how is the culture, the community that's built around that volunteerism? Do you see your team growing close?
Oh, yes. The volunteers that are here long-term, yes, we have grown close. I mean, a lot of these guys, I'll be honest with you, that I did not know. You know, Pastor Josh Brown with Restoration Church, we really never really have ever spoke until he posted a video that he was here helping. And I contacted him and I asked him, with my experience, could I come help his organization? He opened his arms. He let me come. Mm-hmm. You know, his right-hand man is Ryan Honeycutt, and me and him have became best friends here, trying to lead this operation in the right direction and help as many as people as we can.
And so, kind of a personal question, but dealing with this level of loss and grief, especially among the people that you're helping, how do you cope and how do you not burn out?
Really, for me, my kids and my wife at home, talking to them every night keeps me from not burning out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I have 8 kids. I love them dearly. And if something happened to me in a storm and just left my kids behind, like some families here has happened, they left their kids behind because their parents were swept away in the flood. Mm-hmm. I would want a man just like me to step up and take care of that family and make sure they have somewhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my kids know what I'm doing, and they lift me up every night we talk.
So they're fully supportive.
Yes, sir.
They wanted him to come out there. Actually, his older kids, if I'm not mistaken, Stephen, they said, "Dad, you got to get out there and help him because you can help." And I know they influenced him to get out there.
Mm-hmm. And how much?
Originally, I wasn't going to work this storm, and it was my kids that convinced me to come out for this storm, because financially I couldn't afford to come for this storm, and so I didn't want to get involved, because I knew if I got involved that I wouldn't give up, and financially my family couldn't afford it. But you know, my kids persuaded me to come, and I'm here.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I think for me, I feel like family with a lot of these people that I've connected with, and it really does feel like that. You connect on levels because of what you're dealing with. You know, we're kind of all in this together, helping. And so for me, I think it's the keeping busy. Like if I'm helping and I'm in motion and doing things, and I think definitely for, I'm not even there, but the people that are there, I know I've talked to some people that, she told me, you know, if I don't keep going, I'm going to start crying. And so she said, I just keep going and keep moving. And I think it's, you know, what I've experienced here is 10 times, 100 times more that there, that, yeah, it's tough stuff. But Stephen's a rock. He's been a rock for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an honor.
I will add, for me, I've never met Karen in person. This is my first storm meeting Karen and Rose and Ruth. And believe it or not, they helped me out tremendously, not just with donations coming in and finding the resources, but to be able to talk to someone that can understand what you're going through when you're going through the rough times of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I would also like, you know, if anybody wants to donate their time and come volunteer, they can contact me at 919-210-0867.
Do you want to give that one more time?
919-210-0867.
Great. And we do have just about 3 minutes left on the show, so I wanted to say that it's an honor to meet you, Stephen, over the phone right now. And Karen, thank you so much for writing a letter and for having the heart to put things aside and care for these people and start up your home office command center. You told me before the show you've never been to North Carolina, and I'm confident there are many people who will be opening their doors to you if you decide to visit.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for creating this opportunity for this space for Stephen and I to to talk about it. Thank you.
Well, thanks for helping us. You know, we live in a little bubble high in the mountains, so while we might see the headlines or glance at news stories, speaking to people like you, Stephen, make it more of a reality. We're empathizing with the experience of fellow Americans who've been through a really traumatic storm.
And I would thank you for your time as well, and I hope your listeners will understand we don't need to forget about Western North Carolina. These people are already scared that they're going to be forgotten about in the next coming months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it says a lot that it's already been a month and there's still big needs. So thanks for what you do, Stephen. It's very inspiring to hear about you setting aside everything and having that encouragement from your kids to step up, and that you're managing such a big team and making a big difference.
I'll talk to you later, Stephen.
Thank you for having me. All right, y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you, Riley.
And once again, people can look for Restoration Church Disaster Relief on Facebook. That is also in Karen's letter, which starts on page 2 in this week's Sopra Sun and jumps to page 15. But you gave a nice synopsis of what's happened and what the team is experiencing right now.
People can still contact me as well, myself as well, at 970-319-2116. Serious inquiries only.
Do you want to give that one more time?
Yeah, sure. It's 970-319-2116.
Okay.
And because, yeah.
Well, we are just about out of time. Thank you so much, Karen, for coming in and again for everything that you're doing.
Thanks, Riley, for having me.
And thank you, listener, for tuning in to Everything Under the Sun. Stay tuned for a regional roundup coming up after Bird Note.